It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Thanks a lot. See, Ed does the AMC story. That's fun, right? Well, if you'd bought shares of AMC back in then, you know, if you had AMC, yeah, you'd be... I know a guy really close to me who on January 27th purchased $5,000 in AMC stock. January 27th. That's 309 shares. The stock was valued at $16.24 at the time. He held on to that stock for a couple hours, saw that his $5,018 in AMC stock had dwindled to $4,775. So that's a quick about a $250 drop in about 2 hours. So he sold. He's like, I'm not dealing with it. Had he held on to that $5,000 in AMC stock and just not touched it, it would be worth $18,540 today.
Friend doesn't sound like a good investor. Sounds like he shouldn't quit his
I've said it, and I'll say it again. This whole AMC rally, you want me to stop it? Anybody have those, what are the options where they bet on it going down? I should just buy AMC stock today. And watch, it's really miraculous what happens. If I go in and I buy AMC stock right now, watch what the price does today. And I've told you many times, dude, you don't have to be right. You just have to be consistent.
Careful, bro. Them internet Reddit nerds will come for you.
Oh, I'm not going to do it.
The way Cub fan came for Steve Bartman. You would have basically be AMC Steve Bartman.
What I do find hilarious is anytime I mention anything remotely, whatever, about GameStop or AMC or whatever, crypto, I love the whole, you got to have diamond hands, bro. You have diamond hands. And all I want to do is take a screenshot of what I've lost on that stuff since February and be like, bro, what have you lost? You want to talk about diamond hands? Diamond this, pal. Soundgarden right now. I hate the word.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
You guys remember this one? Fourth quarter, last chance in Chicago. I thought it was the second to last chance in Chicago, but apparently not. I don't think I've ever been as confused as I am in this moment right here. Look at that face.
That's Tom Brady.
I got a new nickname for him. Huh? TikTok Tom.
That's not a new nickname. That's going around the internet right
now. I'm the one who started it.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
TikTok Tom.
So, well, we were, you know, the whole thought, well, Tom couldn't have known. That had to be a mistake with the coaches. There's no way he didn't know that was fourth down. No, he didn't know it was fourth down.
Remember, he claimed in the post game, he was like, no.
Yeah.
I knew what it was. I knew what down it was. No, you didn't, you liar. Just goes to show, Tom Brady, liar.
And here's the thing. It just goes to show you, listen, doesn't matter. The older you get, the more you forget stuff. Last weekend, I called my niece, who I've known since she was born. I called her the name of my other niece that I've known since she was born. They look nothing alike. I just looked one right there. I was like, hey, sweetheart, come here. Called her name.
Freudian slip.
Oh, not Freudian, because there was nothing behind it. I just forgetting crap.
You're old.
I'm old. Number two.
Brad and I Soundgarden.
And committed to one another that we're going to win Banner 18 or die trying. And that's the way Brad feels about it. That's the way I feel about it. And all of us here at this podium believe that Brad is the person to lead us forward on the basketball side as we go after that lofty goal.
No pressure.
I mean, I get you got to set the lofty goals and all. I still don't understand the whole Mike Zarin thing. Mike Zarin, the longtime heir apparent, just got leapfrogged. I follow him on Twitter, which not a lot of people do. It's kind of weird. says, I simply can't express how thankful I am for having been able to work with Danny Ainge. As good a boss and friend as anyone could ever hope to have, could write a book in appreciation of all the amazing and ridiculous moments we shared, and it still wouldn't be enough. Thanks, Danny. I mean, classy, awesome, but dude, you just got leapfrogged by a guy who's never, not that that matters necessarily, having front office experience. We've seen, whether it's coaching experience, whether it's front office experience, we've seen ex-players come in.
Well, and Stevens knows the organization in and out.
Sure. But man, you got leapfrogged.
Mm-hmm.
You got leapfrogged.
Again, we said it yesterday. Zarin's a Boston guy. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge's right-hand man. I would not be shocked if he started getting that resume together, maybe.
Who's Zarin?
Yeah, it might be time to expand those wings outside of your home city, bud.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday, but yeah, the problem is he's got to leave. He's got to leave his
nest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be that time. I guarantee you, if there are front office openings in the offseason, Mike Zarin is going to be getting a lot of phone calls.
Did you hear Stephen A. Smith yesterday?
I did.
Let me bonus this in here. This is a minute long. This is Stephen A.'s reaction to the ascension of Brad Stevens.
Players, NBA players are some of the most powerful people in this world. When have they spoken up for black coaches? When? When have they spoken up for black executives, GMs, president of basketball operations? When has that happened? LeBron, all of them, everybody. Where the hell have they been? Nobody's done anything. And then when we the media, we bring it up, and you got white folks out here going to sit up there and look at Stephen A. and say, oh, here he is bringing up race. And none of the black players speak up and say, yo, he got a point. Yo, he's right. Yo, there's something that needs to be done here. Do y'all want me to bring up the Rooney Rule and how it might be needed in basketball? Oh, I forgot. I can't do that. Why? Because the Rooney Rule ain't even working in the damn NFL. So when are we going to say something about it? You know what? I'm going to walk away. I'll be right back because I'm scared I'm going to say something that might get me in trouble because I'm pissed. I'm pissed.
It's an interesting conversation to
sure
have.
Is.
It's a conversation that should be had. Now, listen, Brad Stevens is already there, and you had Mike Zarin behind him. But I think in a vacuum, you could pick that apart. I prefer to look at those situations. I think it's very difficult. You know, we had this conversation with David Vanterpool last year in the Timberwolves. It was very difficult, and I think it's a disingenuous argument, Jay, to have that debate in a vacuum in mm-hmm. specific instances. I prefer to pull out to 50,000 feet because that's what I think matters and look at percentages.
Right.
Now, just because you have X percentage of an ethnicity, a race, whatever, in you know, playing the game, that doesn't mean you have to have the exact percentage below or it shouldn't be some magical number. But you should be in the vicinity.
Right.
You
should, no, I agree.
You should be in the ballpark.
It should look a little better than it looks.
Right. And the campanising of front offices and head coaching groupthink, the problem is that these decisions are largely made by people that look like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It is a proven fact that people that look like you and I or look like somebody else tend to glide towards those that look like you and I. And a real goofy anecdote on that, go back to anybody who lived through the 80s. If you hopefully you have a rainbow of friends of different ethnicities, colors, et cetera, et cetera. How many of your black friends were Laker fans? How many of your white fans were Celtic fans? How many of your black friends were Magic Johnson guys? And how many of your white friends were Larry Bird guys? It's just there. And it should be addressed. And I almost never agree with Stephen A. on things, or rarely do. In this case, I get it. Number three. Nope. All right. I took up all the time.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
It's going to be on your headstone.
It's a I took up all the time. I hope so. I hope it wasn't he got shorted. We didn't get to Matt LaFleur, coach of the Packers, on Aaron Rodgers. There's no update, was the quote. I like our
Jordan Love out there slanging it, though.
Right. Three for Matt is coming up next. We'll revisit that Tom Brady admission. Coach K, and not only the Lakers or Clippers on the chopping block here, but an interesting stat. When was the last time California didn't have a representative in the second round of the playoffs? Might be a little longer than you think. We'll talk about that right after this.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time.
Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
Still to come today, NBA playoffs. Danny Ainge is out in Boston. Wonder if Boston's going to be opened. Maybe doing a little business with the Kings. I got an idea. A good one. Suit everybody involved. Mainly the Kings.
Why is everybody automatically thinking that because Danny Ainge is out of Boston, we're going to trade for Marcus Smart?
I don't think the thought is that's automatically going to happen. I think the idea is that that roster needs to be shaken up a little bit. Then you ain't going to be able to get off Kemba Walker's money. Marcus Smart's an expiring. He's your only true asset to actually move. There is an equation there that can equate to that.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to do something.
They do, but there's also 29 other teams they could do it with.
Sure.
28 other teams.
Sure.
Three for Madness question one.
Tom Brady admitted to not knowing how it was fourth down and a loss to the Bears earlier this season.
Oh, but it was freeing for him. Get that off your chest, Tom.
Yeah. He can finally move on with his life.
Finally move on.
Yeah. Will TikTok Tom make the popular social media app not cool?
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes it cooler.
No.
No?
Listen, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady is a 7-time Super Bowl champion.
Are you saying Tom Brady is a dork?
I am saying Tom Brady is a huge dork, and Gen Z is not here for Tom Brady on their app.
Gen Z. I was like, who's Gen Z?
Oh, Gen Z.
Like your friend Gen Z
work
Wilcott?
Down the street.
Gotcha. I will say this. There is a psychology that there are people, the younger you get especially, they want to be the ones that are in the know, their own little private Idaho type of thing, this, that, whatever. And then when they start seeing boomers show up, it's not cool anymore. Then they're going to move on to the next big thing.
Boomers did that to Facebook.
Well, Facebook's still doing quite well, Jay.
Gen X did that to IG. Millennials are starting to do it to TikTok, and now Tom Brady wants to get involved?
You have yet to bring up an example of a company that has been inundated by the geriatrics that has gone downhill. Now,
that's not what I asked.
You could say MySpace. Say MySpace.
Nah. I didn't say he would bring. I said make it not cool.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Mark this down. This is one of those times where I'm really pissed I don't have money or access to it. I need to hit up those rich people I know.
Let's hear it.
I don't know what it would cost, but I got to imagine it wouldn't cost a whole heck of a lot to acquire MySpace. I know the IP still exists. Somebody still holds it.
Well, MySpace is still a website.
Huh? No, right. I got you. I'm saying Tom is long gone from MySpace.
Brady?
My friend Tom. No, Tom, the guy who...
Did you ever take him out of your top eight? I took him out of my top eight.
I always left him in just out of... Wow. Anyways, I think MySpace is going to have a comeback. I really do. I think, I'm telling you, the ability to post songs, design your own front page, I think with a few tweaks and updates, I'm telling you, somebody smart and young is going to grab MySpace for like $30 million and bring it back. And all of the retro stuff combined with the new kids doing their thing, they could incorporate Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok elements.
Retro social networking? Nostalgia social networking?
Bro, classic rock, classic movies. We're almost on the cusp of classic social media.
Interesting theory.
Where we just want to go back to simpler times. June 3rd, 7:20 in the morning, Thursday, write it down. There will be a think piece someday. MySpace making a comeback, and I'm going to post it everywhere and say, I told you so.
Tom Brady's going to be the lead investor.
Number two.
Question two.
Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski is set to retire at the end of the 2021-2022 season.
Yeah.
Do you like the winningest coach in NCAA history getting a farewell tour?
I'm fine with it. Listen, you've been there 40-plus years. It's fine. And I'm really excited for the ACC tour. And I'm most excited for North Carolina because you know there's going to be Duke very much honored Dean Smith.
Mm-hmm.
and Mike Krzyzewski is the Dean Smith of Duke. Let's just be honest there. What is North Carolina going to do? What is Old Chapel Hill going to be like that last Krzyzewski game? And by the way, I also hope, and I would imagine so, I hope the ACC schedule makers are also doing their thing and, yeah. and making sure it's scheduled properly. But also, on top of that, I'm very curious to see what this does for Duke recruit. On one hand, you would think it would hurt it. Why do I want to go to Duke when my Krzyzewski's only going to be there a year and then the program's probably going to collapse? I get that. But,
No.
I want to be there. I am a five-star freshman recruit. I want to be there for Krzyzewski's last year. Duke is still a hot property. Oh, by the way, every Duke game is going to be on national TV and is going to be must-see television.
Well, not just that, but John Shire will be taking over for him. And who is John Shire recruited for Duke? Zion Williamson.
I got you.
I think they'll be fine.
I think Duke might just put... And by the way, probably why Krzyzewski, one of the reasons why he announced it now, everyone's pointing to the fact that he wants a farewell tour. I think it gives him a recruiting bump. I think people want to be there. And I think it's smart for their NBA careers and exposure to be mm-hmm. there. Because, dude, ESPN's going to have their feature game. Mike Krzyzewski's last trip to Weber State. Every game is going to be...
Where did you pull Weber State
I was trying
from?
To pull a random team.
You thinking of Dame Lillard all day?
No, I'm just thinking of like, oh, Mike Krzyzewski.
His Big Sky Tour coming up?
His final go-around with Middle Tennessee State.
Can't wait for him at Sac State this year.
Hey. All right, number three.
Question three.
Which L.A. team is more likely to get bounced in the first round? The Lakers or the Clippers?
I think the Lakers because of Anthony Davis. I'm not saying they... I think right now, odds fairly... not heavily, but are, let's say, 60-40, 70-30 Suns. I'd say maybe at best they're 55-45 Mavs. Remember, hey, listen, this is the first time since I think it was the Spurs and I forget who. I saw the stat last night in a long time. Kenny Smith, I think Spurs and Rockets.
Yeah, 95.
Kenny Smith was on that team. First time we've seen the road team win the first five games of a series, which is pretty incredible when you consider what the home court advantage does in the NBA.
It's happened twice. It was that series then in 84, the Sixers and Nets. So, yeah, man, you're witnessing something that's a rarity, it's not just crazy. In the NBA, in sports.
It's pretty, pretty crazy. I think they're... Like I said, if I had to bet on one advancing, it would be the Clippers.
Yeah, I would too.
And speaking of once upon a time, if they both lose, this will be the first time since 2005 that California will not be represented in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Really?
California had one representative in the playoffs in 2005.
Call on me. I know the answer.
Go ahead.
That'd be the Sacramento Kings.
They did not. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. They did not advance to the second round.
No, they were too busy getting throttled by Jerome James and the Sonics.
That is correct. The Kings, the last time the lone California representative did not advance. I don't want to talk about it. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Leland says on the YouTube channel, the Clippers aren't winning, Dave. I mean, I kind of agree with you, but let's not make that. Always when people make statements like that, like, the Clippers aren't winning. Will you give me 2-1 odds? Because did you give me 2-1 odds on a $500 bet? Because I think
you're
about
asking
it.
Me because
I'm. No, I'm asking. I mean, that's the thing. Let's not be so sure of things. We've had a pretty close series. Anyways, coming up next, halftime. We'll recap everything from yesterday. And Jay wants to know if the Kings and Celtics are going to be trade partners.
Not if.
Oh,
is
when?
There an avenue?
Wow.
No, is there an avenue?
Yeah, there's an avenue. It's called the collective bargaining agreement. They're allowed to trade with each other.
I'm going to punch you in your you know what.
What a dumb segment. Coming up right after this.
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
So in 2016, MySpace was sold to Time for $35 million.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, MySpace was reportedly worth around $35 billion.
Bet that wasn't 2016.
No. It was sold to Rupert Murdoch and Fox in 2011 for like $500 million or something. $35 million to Time in 2016. So I got to think, now that we're 5 years later, it was an undisclosed amount. I couldn't find out how much it was sold for. I got to imagine it was less than that $35 million that it had transferred before. Excuse me. We don't know how much Time paid for it. The transaction before that was $35 million. I got to think you could pick MySpace up for 10 or 15 million right now, especially.
Really?
It's not like Time's broke.
What's on MySpace? I haven't been on MySpace in probably 15 years.
They say they still get a couple million hits a month. I'm telling
you. That's
it. You go in, you revamp it so you don't have to know how to HTML code to put stuff up. You make it easier. You have everybody use real names like they do on Facebook. That was the other thing. You go on MySpace and you put whatever you wanted in there and you could post, you know, nudie photos and blah, blah, blah. Like, you gotta censor some of that out.
That's boring.
Well, I'm just saying. Or at least do a MySpace Plus. I'm just saying, you revamp it. I'm on to something here. I'm telling you. Somebody go buy MySpace for me, would you please? Let's do this. Then you have a brand of MySpace is back. Do a big Super Bowl ad. You're done.
Bless you.
I'm allergic to great ideas.
No. There's a joke to make there. I'm going to isolate that one. I'm allergic to great ideas. Allergic to
great ideas.
So anyway. It was you that inspired the Kings not to take Luka.
Funny you mentioned that.
Oh, boy. Did I open up Pandora's box or Luka's box?
For the first time ever.
Chris will be back, by the way. He's taking off the YouTube chat for a little bit. Thought you'd want to know. He likes to tell people things no one cares about.
Oh, was he given a timeout just for...
No. He's going to drop the kids off at school.
Oh.
No dragon timeouts today.
For the first time ever, I went back through the notes I took the day of the 2018 draft. There's a backstory. So the morning, the night before the draft, I was told by someone that knows things that the Kings were going to take Marvin Bagley. Now, this had been thought, you know, it was Bagley, Doncic, or Michael Porter Jr. And may have ended up being Michael Porter Jr. had he not been injured. We'll never know. Because that injury happened at the beginning of the year and then happened again. So the morning I was on the air, I don't remember specifically what I said, but it was something like, if the Kings can't screw this up, they got the number two, they lucked into the number two pick. If they don't take Luka Doncic, this has to all be a smokescreen. I don't know why they'd be smokescreening it, but it's a smokescreen. But if they're overthinking this, the fact that they have a GM and an assistant GM that have intimate generational knowledge of who Luka Doncic is and are most qualified to understand the EuroLeague. And if they overthink it, the only forgivable reason for the Kings to not take Luka Doncic would be if Igor Koskarov, the new coach of the Suns, who coached Luka Doncic, took him with the number one pick. Then you take DeAndre Ayton. That was the thought process at the time. Because remember, hindsight's 20/20, but the thought was that DeAndre Ayton was the number one, Luka was the two, and then it was a mix of, you know, Bagley was the favorite to be three, but it was Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Trae Young
was kind of in the mix there. But you know, let's not go too crazy. Bagley was a consensus top three pick. He was a consensus top
three. Let's just say top four to be safe.
Okay, fine. So I got loose that morning, and I think the line that got him was, if the Kings end up not taking Luka, and I'm sure that they will, I'm confident they will, this has to be a smokescreen, but if they don't take Luka, it is absolute malpractice, and the entire front office should be fired the minute the draft is over. So I get a call that afternoon. Well, I got a call from a Kings PR person who said, hey, can you take a phone call? Because that's how it works. Hey, XYZ wants to call you. Talk about this. Then I get a call about 10 minutes later from this person. Now, I'm not going to say who it is. because it was an off-record conversation. But I will share the content of it. I think that's fair. And the conversation started out great. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Busy time right now. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I was listening to the show. And this is always how it goes. I was listening to the show this morning, which, by the way, 9 times out of 10, they were not listening to the show this morning. Somebody told them about the show that was listening, and then they had an assistant get an audio clip of the show. Because then I always want to be like, well, what'd you think about that guest? No, they got sent a clip. Doesn't matter. Man, that's pretty harsh. You should be a GM. That's the part that pissed me off. You should be a GM. You're extremely sure of this. And I was like, it's not that I'm sure of it. This reminds me of the coronavirus stuff. It's not my opinion. It's the consensus opinion that is dramatically in favor of this. Well, let me explain why we're doing this, and maybe you'll feel better. Now, before I get into this, Jay, I want to disclaim it just like I did.
Hey, full stop. Do you feel better?
I don't.
No, it hasn't happened yet. How that Pepto hasn't kicked in.
The crappy thing about this conversation, well, everything's crappy about this conversation, but the real crappy thing about this conversation is that it mentions Marvin Bagley a lot. This is not a shot at Marvin. This is not a personal thing about Marvin. None of this is Marvin's fault. This is the scouting department. It's their fault. Marvin just happens to be the poor guy that got picked number two. What was he supposed to say? Hey, listen, thanks for picking me, but I'm not worthy of the two pick. Of course not. So here are the notes, unedited. Marvin Bagley has always been our number one. You tactically want to keep things a bit smoky, so we've been reserved.
That's fine.
Totally fine. With the finish to our year, we assumed the 7 pick, which, remember, they won the lottery.
That's fine.
And he was going to be out of our reach. But we felt he was the best player all year. You hope to get lucky. We thought there were 4 players capable of being number one in this draft. DeAndre Ayton, Michael Porter Jr., Marvin Bagley III, and Luka Doncic I. We've been at every game, digging in for a long time with our scouts. We were at preseason practices at Duke. At that point, I started to get into questions about Marvin Bagley's defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading because this part, it wouldn't make sense if I just went on. I said, what about his defense? Coach K had to go to a zone to protect his defense. The response was he was playing around several 7-footers. What's his face with the Bulls is one.
Wendell
Carter is one of them. I've seen things from Bagley I've never seen out of other players. We brought him to Sacramento. He's as quick laterally as Frank Mason. He jumps higher than Willie Cauley-Stein and Harry Giles. Not a single game that we saw him play, we didn't leave thinking he wasn't incredible. Basketball IQ, coachability, he checked every box. Coach Krzyzewski said, Marvin's biggest challenge was how young he was, but he's an eager learner, hungry for knowledge, his work ethic second to none. Also, and I think this is a key passage here, when you want an insight into how that front office thought, Marvin wants to be part of this team. He understands the pressure. He wants to be part of a group doing something special, wants to be in Sacramento. That is a key passage that came up many times in the Vlade Divac front office.
I would say it would actually be the biggest narrative we heard is guys want to be here. We want guys that want to be here.
Vlade's philosophy was, I want character guys, and I want guys that aren't afraid to take on the challenge in Sacramento. He was trying to rebuild that 2002 team as far as the locker room goes.
Sure.
And being that Vlade was the center of that chemistry, being that Vlade was the anchor of that locker room, well, he's very qualified to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was wrong with Vlade's motivations at all.
And let's be honest, they built a nice locker room with nice guys.
They did.
That were all that liked each other.
We were waiting on Phoenix to tell us who they were picking. Once they told us it was DeAndre Ayton, we stopped being coy. Bagley would have been our guy had we had the number one pick in the draft. Bagley would have been the pick if they had the one. He was number one on our board. He fits in with our goal of positionless basketball. He's a big. He rebounds.
Those are true.
He can pass.
The ball?
Yeah.
When?
And he's not boxed into one spot.
No?
At that point, the conversation, I wouldn't say it got heated. It got very intense. Because that's where I said, but hold on, positionless basketball. That's Luka Doncic. Luka can come in and Fox can play off the ball and Luka can play off the ball.
Luka can play the one, two, or the three.
That's
that was the
truly positionless basketball.
Coming into the draft, that was the big thing on Luka. You could play him one through three.
They thought Bagley could be a 5-4-3 and that Luka was a 1-2-3. And because they had Fox at the one, they decided to create a small, big combo. That was their thought process. They go on to say on Doncic. It starts with De'Aaron Fox. We have an extraordinary amount of confidence in De'Aaron. If we had multiple picks, who knows? But Fox plus Bagley, we felt, was better than any other combo we could create with this pick. They felt, and listen, on a very, very shallow surface way of thinking. I get it. You got a 6'11 big who can jump out of the gym, who tore up every ACC record, which, by the way, is a pretty good league, as a freshman at 18. Who skipped his, remember, he skipped a year of high school.
Yeah, he's a young man.
You have this young phenom, and you're thinking, okay, We've got our guard, and we've got our big, and that is going to be, I mean, you've seen it many, yeah, that's going to be our Stockton and Malone. That's going to be our, you know, insert guard, insert forward combo. That's going to be our guys. And De'Aaron was 20 at the time, I think. Marvin, wasn't he 20?
19 or 20.
19 or 20.
He was a bebe.
You've got basically two teenagers that you're going to have locked down for a decade. Here we go. Fox plus Bagley is better than any other combo we could have created. It will be an attacking lineup. I said, but you guys can't shoot right now. You have no shooters.
Yeah, at that time you had Buddy Hield.
Right. Luka, let's be fair, at the time, his three-point shot in the NBA was one of the is it going to translate questions. He wasn't a dead eye in Europe.
Right. He was not the second coming of Larry over.
Correct. But a better shooter than Marvin Bagley. Now, they thought Bagley would develop into a three-point shooter, that he showed signs at Duke of having range.
Well, to be fair, he showed signs this year he has range.
Correct. Their response, we're not minimizing the need for shooting, but the pressure on opposing defenses with our attacking lineup will be fun to watch. Remember, Dave Yeager's the coach of the team at the time. And then they went on to say, we'll introduce him at Summer League. He'll play here locally. Those are the
which
notes.
Did happen.
Which did happen.
He made a slam dunk, and we all lost our collective you-know-what.
You know,
proclaimed him to be the greatest player in NBA history.
Hindsight is 20/20, but in the collective narrative, I think sometimes people forget certain things. This isn't a hindsight thing. This isn't it's just important to reference and understand just how franchise altering that draft was, and altering in a horrible way. It doesn't need to be sugarcoated. It doesn't need to be forgotten. I understand the whole let's not harp on it. It's over. I hear you, but I want to make sure that the narrative stays the same. For future reference, so you learn from those mistakes. One fun narrative is that it was a toss-up between Luka and Bagley. You can say that now. Nobody knew Luka would be this good. It was a toss-up. I give you two separate polls that were put out on the same day. One from afternoon host Grant Napier, one from me, both asking the same question. The draft is tomorrow. Who do you want? Now, it's safe to say both Grant and I, our audience, largely Sacramento Kings fans. Luka Doncic and Grant's poll, 69%. Marvin Bagley, 18%. Porter, 9%. Other, 4%.
Other, in retrospect, should have got way more.
I think so. In my poll, Luka Doncic, 68%. Bagley, 19%. Porter, 11%. Other, 2%. So Porter got a little bit more in mine. Everybody else stayed the same. It's not hindsight. The large majority of experts thought Luka Doncic was the number two guy in the draft. Obviously, they were wrong. He's the number one guy in the draft, but they at least thought he was number two.
Yeah, missing one spot, you're not going to be
the large majority of Kings fans felt Luka was the number one pick. I'll never forget the live Periscope I was doing during the draft lottery. As soon as we got to the number two pick, I ran around my backyard screaming, Luka Doncic is going to be a Sacramento King.
Dude, every single person associated with the Kings media, so to speak, whether that is, you know, through mainstream sources, blogs, whatever, is like, all right, Kings are getting Ayton or Doncic. We're good. We're getting a big piece no matter what. I remember the Ringer NBA show goes on live right after. It's like, well, Sacramento, Phoenix, where does Doncic and Ayton go? Is it going to flip? What way does it go? That right. was the prevailing thought.
So, and went on, we went on. It just needs to be understood that at this point right now, Luka is still very young, but it needs to be understood and part of the quote narrative. The Sacramento Kings picking Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic at this point right now is in the same category of Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, is in the same category of Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. It is literally top four worst draft mistakes in NBA history, and that might adjust. I don't think it's going to adjust much higher.
I mean, Bowie Jordan will always be the greatest. Portland at least had Clyde Drexler to fall back on, right?
I 100% agree that one will never be topped. And to be honest with you,
I don't think Durant Oden gets topped either.
But I'm top four. This is top four.
That might be a little side project. Because I could say top three.
Oh, that's the thing. I'm saying top four, as you said earlier, to be safe. And
crazy is we're doing that after three seasons.
And here's where the possible error comes into play. There are two lines of thinking here, and I am maybe with one foot a little more on the left side, but the right foot is at least at the crossroads. I'm very much barely leaning one way. One side is this, and this is where I slightly lean. You have to hold on to Marvin Bagley right now. You have to hold on to him.
I think they are. They're just the market for him is not there.
You got to hold on to him. You've got to hope that this whole injury thing is just one of the worst flukes ever, and that with age and gym time and osmosis that Marvin Bagley.
Why don't you just say a prayer?
Well, you've. The thing about Marvin is this. He's not a dud by any stretch of the imagination. He has flaws. And the biggest flaw there is, I mean, you want to talk about calling Anthony Davis street clothes. Marvin Bagley is the poster boy for street clothes. He's Marvin street clothes Bagley. That's a fact, Jack. But when he's healthy and in, as we saw last year, Marvin Bagley is a player that shows a lot of potential and occasional flashes of offensive brilliance. And I don't mean brilliance like creativity. I mean brilliance in the sense that he's capable of putting up 30 and 15 on any given night. He's done it. I need to see what Marvin Bagley's season looks like if he plays 70-plus games. And I don't know that we'll ever get there. But as I've said many times before, if you trade him, let's say that Sadiq Bey trade had gone through. I don't know what Sadiq Bey is going to be. Who knows? But as Kings fans, don't you just know that if you sell low on Marvin Bagley, he's like the AMC stock we were talking about earlier. he's just going to go somewhere else and magically get better. And no, oh my God, look at how amazing he is.
Because we say that about every single guy that leaves this organization. That was the prevailing thought when Willie Cauley Stein.
Has anyone left this organization that you think has as much innate talent as Marvin Bagley?
No. But again, has anyone left this organization with the injury history of Marvin Bagley? The only guy I can think of is Tyreek Evans, and that didn't work out well.
That's the whole thing. It's injury history.
Right. And the only guy on that level was Tyreek, and his injuries stayed.
And on one hand with Marvin, I go, you know what? These aren't chronic. That he's not hurting the same knee. We're not talking microfracture surgeries. He's not hurting his foot over and over again. These are weird things like a broken finger, a broken hand. Like, these are all different and weird injuries. So one of two things is the case. He's got horrible bad luck and is going to basically IV milk for the next 6 months and build up those bones, or, and I say this with all respect, he's brittle.
Right now, that's a fact. There's overwhelming evidence it's a brittle issue.
I agree with you. And listen, that's not Marvin's fault. It's just how it is. Some people get injured more than others. It's like what we were talking about with Anthony Davis yesterday when Charles Barkley said that. He doesn't want to be injured.
No, again, it's not faulting a player. It's just it is what it is.
That's the tragedy of Marvin Bagley.
I'm telling you this right now. If in year four he is hurt again, he's not going to get a qualifying offer here. He's going to go somewhere for the minimum.
I hear you.
And it is more than likely that the injuries will follow him. It's just a thing. Guys that are chronically injured don't usually magically get better.
From the 408, that's the worst take ever, comparing Marvin to Sam Bowie. Did Sam ever have 30-point games in the NBA? You're missing the point. It's not
saying Sam actually had some really good games in the NBA.
Not saying that Marvin is Sam Bowie. We're talking about draft position, and in this case, it was Jordan behind Bowie, and now it's Doncic behind Bagley. Not hey, they're the same. It could have been, you know, a point guard we're talking about. We're not trying to compare those two as players. We're trying to compare two failed draft picks followed by two perennial all-star pantheon type players. And again, it's still a little early to put Luka in. Not ready to put Luka in Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon status yet. But he certainly is on his way. And all signs point to that Luka Doncic is a Hall of Fame, all-time type player. The other side of that road is the side that says, through no fault of Marvin's own, the injuries are not his fault. The fact that he got picked second is not his fault. The fact that Luka is so amazing is not his fault. That Marvin will never be able to succeed here. It just will never work. He'll never be able to get out from under the shadow. He'll never be able to get away from Kings fans seeing him and immediately thinking about number 77 on the Mavs. He'll never get over that, and a fresh start and cutting losses is simply just the best move for both franchises. Now, that is the side I'm not quite on yet, but I understand the philosophy there. It is the tragedy of Marvin Bagley thus far is that it's not his fault, and we just don't know, but damn it, the book hasn't closed yet, and I would love nothing more than for Marvin to come out next year and just ball out, dude. Because that is like finding found money underneath your couch cushions. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
With Danny Ainge out, does that change things for the Celtics? And could the Kings benefit from that? We'll get back into the NBA playoffs as well. We will talk about Luka and the Mavericks. We will also talk about the rest of those games as well. Look ahead to tonight's games, all coming up right after this.